Okay, so we're doing Sigah in Shloshim. It's specifically regarding cutting nails. Cutting hair, cutting nails during Shloshim. Okay, Aveil. So the Gemara Yedzayin Amaveis, Tan Rabbanan. So it starts off by talking about there's certain people who are not allowed to. Oh, here we go. This is like this. It says, Chol Moed, so you're not allowed to sell your haircuts or shave. Okay? This is very parenthetical, Chol Moed. I'm just going to touch on it quickly, but it's, you know. So certainly you're not allowed to shave. You're not allowed to shave on Chol Moed. We're missing one chair. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda says, just like you're not allowed to shave on Chol Moed, you're also not allowed to cut your nails on Chol Moed. Okay, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's mutter. Okay, it's mutter. Okay, that's what I'm saying. And then similarly, in the same machlokas, it says, just like also an avil is not allowed to shave, to get a haircut. So Rabbi Yehuda says, just like an avil is not allowed to shave, he's not allowed to cut his nails. So Rabbi Yehuda equates shaving and cutting nails, both regarding Chol Moed and regarding Aveil.
How many coffees? Just one? No taste.
One. Okay. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi's not here. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's true that on Chol Moed you're not allowed to shave. It's true that on Aveil and Shiva Shloshim is not allowed to shave. But he is allowed to cut his fingernails. Okay. So we don't know why or anything. Okay, so then it says, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, okay. So the Ritva explains like this. So what's the pshat? Why can't you shave on Chol Moed? Why can't you shave on Chol Moed? So the reason why is because Chazal didn't want a person to push off his... They wanted a person to shave on Erev Yom Tov. Okay, they wanted a person to shave. And this applies for laundry also. They wanted them to properly prepare for Yom Tov, to shave before Yom Tov. Not to go into the Yom Tov as a manoval, not shave. So how did they do that? They said that you're not allowed to shave on Chol Moed. So basically, if you end up not shaving on Erev Yom Tov, then you're going to be stuck for a whole week without being able to shave. And thereby, a person is not going to end up being lazy, being lax, rather than Erev Yom Tov. If it was just Erev Yom Tov, if you let shave for a while, maybe you'd be lax for a day, and I think of one day Yom Tov. Maybe, yes, whatever, it's fine, you just won't do it. But the fact that they asked you to shave on Chol Moed, so a person is not going to end up being lax and lazy like that, but he's going to end up shaving on Erev Yom Tov, and this way, because he knows he's not going to be able to until for another week. Okay, so that's it there. So in theory, you could say the same thing should apply to cutting your nails, right? So the beautiful, the different, same thing, right? You should cut your nails beforehand, otherwise you can end up having the same problem, right? So in order to prevent you from pushing it off to Chol Moed, they say you're not allowed to do Chol Moed, but you have to do Erev Yom Tov. Okay. But Rabbi Yossi says, why? So it says, the Ritva explains, the Kasavra, the Mentilisi Pranayim, lo gazim. He says, there's no gzera by a fingernail. Chadashu nivel gadol ha'shosan, v'lo shech shenchanan oed. First of all, it's very disgusting for a person to leave his fingernails. A person may push off shaving. But if you really need to cut your nails, and you don't, the guy's not going to do that. It's not likely that we're worried that a guy's going to push it off till after Yom Tov. Especially, I think it could be back then it was more disgusting because they didn't have soap as much, and like your hands would get much more dirty. So under your fingernails, it could be we got, you know, more dirty and start calling them and smelly and, you know, perhaps. But that's basically the same effect, is that it's not shy. If a person really needs to cut his fingernails, he's not going to push it off. It's less likely he's going to push it off than by shaving, therefore they weren't kosher. And also your fingernails grow every day. Even if you cut them before the moed, you're going to have to cut them again on the moed. So he's saying is that, and this is again, I don't really know this fact, you know, I don't relate to this fact, but he's saying is that, apparently he's saying it's the custom of people to cut their nails very often, almost daily. So, even, it's kind of like we say by shaving. Maybe let me pause for a moment, let me get the nails in a second. But the heter, why we shave, because the whole thing is, so you don't push it off, so you shave on Erev Yontif. And this way, you shave on Erev Yontif, so now you're not allowed to shave on Chol Moed. It's just going to force you to shave on Erev Yontif, because you know you're not going to be able to shave again until a week later. But nowadays, we shave every day. We shave very often, right? So it doesn't, even if I shave on Erev Yontif, so then I did shave on Erev Yontif. But now, why shouldn't I shave on Chol Moed? On the contrary, now I'll go until the second day of Yontif like I'm a noble. See, if you shave once a week, so when's your weekly thing, or once a month, when are you going to do it? So you're going to do it on Erev Yontif, or you're going to do it on Chol Moed? So we're worried that a guy is going to be lax and push it from Erev Yontif to Chol Moed. That's our chashash. There's one shaving we don't do on Chol Moed, and then he's going to go into Yontif as a menovel. But if you shave every day, so he'll shave both. The whole thing isn't shaykh.
You mean that
he's
going to be in habit to keep to his schedule?
Which way? You mean nowadays? Or that?
No, then, like, if he shaves, let's say, once every 10
right.
days,
yeah.
So now he's not going to look to the calendar and see when the other falls out. He's gonna, is that
yeah, right, yeah. He's going to end up.
He's going to be along with his normal practice.
Exactly.
But if he's every day, so
yeah, right.
Those will fall out.
Exactly.
I understand. Let's say he doesn't miss the care of the other.
Oh, so that's what he's saying in economics. If you miss Erev Yontif, then they can say you can't shave on Chol Moed.
So what's the difference between nowadays and...
Well, because back then, if you shaved on Erev Yontif, then you can't shave on Chol Moed.
Even if you shaved on Erev Yontif?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, because they shaved once in a while. So basically, back then, the gzera was, is once you shave on Erev Yontif, there's no reason for you not to shave on... You know, so basically, they set it up as... I mean, it's a foot yole together. They set it up, what?
And then there's, like, the town, like...
Apparently not. I mean, that's the chiddush of, I guess, the Rav or Moshe. I mean, I have to do this again. Because there are things. There's like Kli Pishtan, for instance, that says that since you shave wash them all the time, so therefore there's no gezeira. So there's built into the thing that there are certain things which are happen regularly they didn't make the gezeira for. I mean, that's the sugya. I'm not going to enter the details of that. But my point is that the Rav says that fingernails are like that. That people who just cut their fingernails all the time, they grow regularly. So even if you cut them in Erev Yontif, then they grow, and you can cut them again on Chol Moed. So they're not like a once in a while type of phenomenon. So therefore, they don't come under this gezeira. Okay. My point is more to take from this Rav, not to get into the sugya of Chol Moed, but the fact is that first of all, saying you grow fingernails, not just cutting your fingernails is evil. It's like disgusting, and the person is likely to cut them. You know, it's not likely not to leave them hanging if you need them. And also that it was the cause it was regular for people to cut their fingernails very regularly. I don't know, do people do that nowadays? Cut their nails like a few times a week?
Less regular than that, right?
Yeah, I would think, right? Once a week, you know, whatever it is. But I mean, you should cut them on Erev Yontif, you can cut them again on Chol Moed.
Once a week, like that, right?
Yeah, so whatever. But this is a fact, but you know, what do you think?
I'm curious now. I gave up my thing.
I don't think I cut my nails more than anything.
Oh, really?
Once.
Oh, really? Maybe twice a month.
Right. Just what I'm saying. It's hard to understand exactly what he's talking about, but whatever. That's one thing. Like, it could be someone suggested back then they didn't have toilet paper. They didn't have whatever. Their hand just got much more dirty. You know, your nails stuff gets caught under it.
More disgusting.
It's more disgusting. So, like, your nails are a place where dirt gets caught.
I'm working on my house. And
yeah.
Cutting my nails all dark.
You are, right?
That's probably true, yeah.
Yeah, because
I'm going out to get grease, I get all this stuff.
Right.
And you look like an animal if you don't cut your nails short because then they get stuck in my
head. Right, under that.
Yeah.
You can't get that out.
Yeah, you don't want it. So
right.
You have to cut them.
Right.
It does not, right. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Right,
there you go. Yeah. So that's exactly. So back then, especially nowadays, even you have soap and you have whatever. You imagine back then they are much more dirty and they had less effective methods of cleaning. So too, yeah. So that makes sense.
Like leaving dirt on your skin.
Yeah, right. Because you can't get to it.
You can't get to it.
Exactly. I mean, if you're not working in your house, right. I mean, you're not working in your house, then how will you barely get there? Once in a while, you got a little dirt there, you get it out with a fingernail, whatever. Okay, good. Okay.
Shower.
Okay.
Well, no one's toilet paper was discovered. It really didn't change.
Yeah, changed the world.
It really did.
So, one of those inventions. Okay. So now the question is, so what's the question now? So that's by Chalmud. I don't get to what the Machlokas is exactly by Chalmud, but now it comes Avela. So on Avela, so you're not allowed to shave. You're not allowed to shave, get a haircut. Doing shloshim, shiva and shloshim. Question is, do you say that also you can't cut your nails? Okay? Do you say cutting your nails is the same thing? Or do you say no? Nails is mutter. Haircut is also. Shaving is also. So I know, what's the similarity and why would you say that it's the same? Why would you say that it's different? Okay.
Why do you like an
Avelis
to Yom Tov or Chol Hamoed?
What's that?
What's
your question?
Why are you comparing Avelis to
Well, in both of them you have, I'm not necessarily comparing it, but because the Machlokas is by both. And both of them have an issur of shaving. And the question of Machlokas by both of them, whether it's also the same thing, does the issur of shaving extend to cutting nails? So it's not necessarily the same, but I'm just mentioning them both because they're back to back in the Gemara. I don't want anyone to say that they're the same. So I'm just bringing it up because if you have information about their, you know, about what cutting your nails is or what cutting nails was, or, you know, from the Rava, based on that Gemara, so I did it. But I don't think they're necessary. They happen to be that they go the same way, the two positions, but the Gemara, I'll show you. The Gemara says, So he says it's a split. And Shmuel says no. But you see though that there was a position here that was more that went both ways. Right? That like went the opposite way and different, so it's not necessarily that they're like. Right, because you see, otherwise how could you have a position, you know, switch positions, switch. So that's what I'm saying.
I don't really have to think about it.
So what's
the
Gemara
doing
then? I don't know. It's bringing down two different machlokes, which happen to be the same position.
Speak both of them, even though they don't necessarily
have anything to do with it. Maybe some hold it could be related. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. For now, we are. I mean, this is Moikata. I mean, this thing is Moikata about.
I don't know what the answer is about.
It discusses Chol Hamoed. It's the Moikata and the first Moikata of Chol Hamoed, but also Avelis comes up, and, you know. Mm-hmm. So, for the time being, I mean, you know, it's not a problem.
I think the hair, like, there's no dispute as to an appearance. Kind of
right. I guess that you shouldn't be involved in your appearance.
Right, so that's part of the
Sulam. Right, that's part of the Shoshim.
I think
else can
be colored in two ways.
Okay, good.
One is, you can say this, that people do, you know, like manicures or whatever they do, they get in any
Okay.
Or it's more of a functional, you know, kind of
functional. Okay, good.
Like, you get too long.
Right.
Like you said, it's kind of hygiene or, you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So the question is now, so what's the machlokas?
What, how you look at fingernails?
Right, but like what's that dependent upon? I mean, in theory, you argue that fingernails are both.
What?
I mean, in theory, it seems to be that fingernails are both.
Right.
So how do you decide whether you look at them this way or you look at them that way? Like, what's that question, you know? You go further. And that's a good step. And go further into what that depends upon. Why would I want them to look at them one way or look at them another way, you know what I mean? Right, that's what you would say to me if I said that.
Go ahead and speak for you. pictures, right?
I did, yeah. They told you?
I thought I saw them packing out, going to the car.
Oh, really?
Yep. Monday, I got the last day.
I think so, yeah. And Mari and Gordon were really on with us.
Ari.
Yeah, and Gordon.
See?
Yep.
So you want to know what makes us, what makes
Muffled
golf course look at one.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly.
And you think it's true, you could look in both ways, but what would cause one to look at it?
Exactly. I mean, can you look at a haircut also in both ways? In theory, if a haircut is for beauty, the haircut's also functional. Your hair gets, sticky, long.
How come, like, a bath and shower isn't under this category?
Bath and shower? Well...
Well, it's a different thing, I understand. It's these things grow.
All right. It's a good question. I mean, the question of what's the unifying feature of Shloshim is a good question. But, I mean, it's not the same though. I mean, the shower isn't concerned about your looks. It's a little bit of a different idea. It's like a pleasure or something, you know?
And
our
nails is the looks?
Yeah, well, that's the question. Marty is saying is, on the one hand, you see manicure, pedicure, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without knowing much about the reasoning of things, but you could say that the fact that one has a dual quality interferes with the nature of whatever it is we're trying to find.
Okay. You mean the nails have dual quality?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and without knowing much about the other thing, that the duality is a problem.
Uh-huh. By now, what do you say? What about that?
So therefore, it would only be, let's say, like something that has a single...
Right, but doesn't the haircut also have a functional thing? It's like your hair gets long and sticky and...
Are we really arguing that? Because I thought the whole idea was that the reason why people cut their nails more often...
Oh, more often?
Yeah, it's just dirty, and the hair is because it's something else.
Right, more often. But, like, I think, for instance, in nausea, they say you could shave, even though you can't get a haircut, you get every year, you could, like, lighten the load. If your hair gets, like, heavy... A hair does have that.
Yeah, but that's an extreme sort of
okay.
I thought we agreed on the distinction between the nails and the hair before by saying, one has really, you can't get it out,
Right.
It's not really.
Right. Okay.
My hair, besides the nose hair, you've got an issue with like hair. You don't really have that phenomenon at all.
Okay.
So if one had a dual sort of relationship, whatever it's related to can't tolerate the two, it can only tolerate the one, and it's just shaving. Because whatever that
okay.
is, I'm trying to speculate. No?
So, but two, like if you're saying is like nails are beautification, let's say. And you're saying is since they also have another purpose, therefore they become litter?
Mm-hmm.
Like why should the fact that...
Because the veil is whatever it is, it has to reflect a certain idea. And if the person is doing it for, like, let's say, a practical reason, then it interferes with the reflection of that idea.
Okay.
Because the people who you relate to it as a functional, practical sort of thing,
okay.
So then it's just an empty action. I mean, it's just
okay.
But if it's something that exclusively can reflect the idea,
okay.
then it should be calm, right?
Okay. Okay. So maybe try to define the hook. Maybe we'll see if we can get it a little clearer. But
mm-hmm.
one of the two sides, yeah?
Yeah.
Lash, should I fill you in here?
I'm doing something for work. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So whenever you're ready, you let me know.
See, a man's job is never done. All right.
Probably. Thank you.
No problem.
You have a functional definition and you have something done for beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them is more of a default. Like I think by the hair thing.
Okay.
Like it's true, it can fulfill a functional definition, but in general, a person does it for beauty.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's true that it's functional, but generally that, you know, it has to get to a pretty far point where it could be done for functional reasons. Whereas by the nails, it's, you know, really is both. You know, it's the functional is more of the default position over there, whereas the beauty is true, you know, it plays a role, but, like, that's more of the secondary type of thing. So the question is, how do you...
Bring it home. Okay. You're saying good?
That was good. Primary.
And what would the other side say?
You're
all the time?
You're rounding third already. They're waving you in.
Maybe I should have waited. See you open.
Okay, good. Good. Leave it for someone else to finish off.
So you have a, when you do it, you're going to have a fingernail that's, you know, beautified.
Okay, good.
I mean, so, easy to say that you cannot wind up with a beautiful, in your language, maybe the chesta, you know.
Okay.
So the chesta of,
Okay, good. Yeah. On the other side?
The other side says, as long as he says, what he said.
Fine. Okay.
Now, I'm not trying to really tell you how to do your job, but if I were you now, I would try to unify in what your version of the job is.
Okay. So like Marty's saying. Yeah. So to unify it all. So the question is the Isser to do a Maisa whose character is beautification? In which case you'd say that, see, hair cutting does have two functions, let's say. But one of them is first, primary. And the other one is like a year down the line or whatever. So the action when you do get a haircut, you don't say, I'm preventing my hair from getting really long in a year from now. You'll say, I'm beautifying myself right now. The character of the action is beautification. But by fingernails, it's the exact opposite. Right now, my fingernails are long and annoying and dirty. So that what's the character of my action is not beautifying, it's a functional action. Now, it's true, if I were to leave them for a while, then they would start getting, you know, then it would be a matter of beautifying them. Like, I want to make sure they don't get all too long and whatever, that would look start looking bad. But at this point, it's not beautification. Beautification is more of an external factor. Right now, the immediate need of why, what am I doing when I cut them on a daily basis? I'm doing a practical, functional thing. So the character of an action is not an action of beautification, it's an action of a functional action. But the other position, the Buddha argues, that it's not only the character of the action, an action of beautification, which is asur, but you can't even bring about the result, the effect of beautification. And therefore, like Marty says, that bottom line is, your fingernails are made more beautiful by doing that. You are bringing about that result, although it's not primary on your mind, and it's not the character of the action that you're doing. You are, bottom line is, have a nicer fingernail, and now you're not going to have to, you know, cut it in 30 days, whatever. You're ultimately making it, the result is that it ends up contributing towards its beauty. You have to cut it, you know, if you were to leave it like this, and you wouldn't be doing this regularly, then you'd end up having ugly fingernails. And in fact, though, no one gets to that point, because you have functional reasons that make you do it beforehand. But bottom line is, your functional cutting does contribute in a secondary fashion towards the beautification. Is it the result of the beautification which is also that, you know, is it removed from beautification? You can't do anything which contributes towards beautification? Or you say, no, it's only also where the very character of the action is one of beautification. So then it's only going to be by cutting the hair. With me? Okay.
I know you can't cut your hair or shave, but there's some issue with nails.
Are you allowed to cut your nails? Do you say that cutting your nails is the same as getting a haircut? It's also prohibited? Or you say no? If you're not allowed to get a haircut, you're allowed to cut your nails. Mm-hmm. This is when I'm doing a slush on like 30 days or Monday morning. Right? So saying, what's the prohibition of getting a haircut? Is it that you can't do an action with beautification? Beautifying yourself. Now, cutting your nails is primarily a functional thing. So you're able to get dirt out, so you know, it's not primarily to beautify. The character of the action is not beautification. But it does bring about the result of beautification, because at the end of the day, if you never would cut your nails for functional reasons, you'd end up getting ugly nails. And then you'd want to... there is a function of beautification in cutting your nails. But if the result of beautification is just prohibited, then you can't even cut down, you can't even cut your nails. But if it's an action whose character is one of beautification, then nails isn't a problem, because the nails is a more primary definition. Anyway. Good?
Yeah. Okay. So
you can't... Well, that's my focus. We'll see. We'll get to that. For now, it's just my focus. Okay. So let's see.
Is that the only other example of that? Is it really just...
a nail?
Because I guess, are you allowed to, you know, as far as like bathing and stuff like that,
that's a different thing. I guess you could try to argue maybe like...
the guy looks grimy
like,
and...
makeup is the question. It's going to be a question, like a woman putting on makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But that's... I'm going to say that's mother. I don't know.
Okay.
So
just for the record, you're not allowed to do cut any hairs on your beard or your hair for all the lotion, no matter what. No matter how unruly it gets, not for Shabbat, not anything.
Right. And that's what we do in the 9 days, in theory. We try to do that. You know, it's the risk of the thing.
Because
you know.
Your beard looks kind of kempt, you know, like neat now. It's just the way it is.
Is there such a thing as getting a haircut in like an ugly way? Is that like something like
no.
Cut off a piece of it or something?
Yeah, a haircut with a shoe.
Right.
We cannot get a mug or something.
Although they do say that if a person, maybe this is a mistake, I didn't get to look into this. So they say if a person in the middle of a haircut and his relative dies, then he can finish the haircut. I'm not sure what the factor is involved in that, you know? And there's another hat there is if a person has in the middle of their avela to become an avela again, then there's a theorem. This is sigil takvula avela, back to back avela. Then there's leniencies. You know, that's
not a really
something like that. I don't know why. That's the problem with that. I know. That's how I didn't look into it, but that was the question we had when we did that. It sounds like an anonymous question. Man. So I don't know, because the whole point focus when you're running, you have to also do avela, so I don't know, whatever. You know. Okay, so then the Gemara goes like this.
Is that new
year? Is it new year? Sort of new. It's a month or two old. You know,
I remember using Gemara,
I think. Oh, no, I just left my Gemara at home, so. I brought the wrong one. Sorry. Yeah, let's go back here.
Was that an iPod?
iPhone. Okay.
The question in education, whether retain physical Gemaras or work on, you know, iPad.
Oh, really? In schools, you mean? Yeah.
That's interesting. It costs, right? Glad they marked that thing, right?
No.
It's free?
Uh-huh. Lost the card there. It doesn't have a choice of that, though.
Doesn't have what?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Right. Does it check? So it says, interesting story it says now. You guys want to do a story or you want to skip the story and get to another halachic point?
I like the story. Is it all right? Is it a good story?
Yeah.
No.
It's interesting.
It makes it more real.
Yeah. Okay. So it says, Pinchas Tachlu Demar Shmuel. Pinchas, the brother of Mar Shmuel, Yisro Ben Osli, became an Adam. Al Shmuel, the Mishal Paim Amirai. So Shmuel came to console him. But then the Tufri, that in Ephesians, so he saw that his fingernails are very long. So Amalei, Amai Lo Shaglaslo, why didn't you, you want me to cut your nails? Right? On your nails, you ought to cut your nails. Because this is Shmuel. Shmuel says that you're Mekel, and you ought to cut your nails as an Adam. Okay, he holds like Rabbi Yossi in the veil. Okay, so he says, Amar Lei, so Pinchas, the Avel, said back to Shmuel, Ibidi Dei, if you are an Avel, have me Mizalzilina Bekalei, would you be so Mizalzo, so lax or so bad, you know, Mizalzo about your Avelos, like degrading to your Avelos to cut your nails and all your Avelos? So, he said the wrong thing. He said, if it were you, you'd have a kishkaga shiyotzinos nehashalat. It's like a muscle. It's like a ruler, by accident, says, off of his head. So what happens? So the ruler can't pull back his thing, then it'll be, no one's going to respect the king. King says, off his head, then all of a sudden you start begging him, say, you take it back. Can't take it back, so fortunately it's like a shkaga yotzev ne'ashalat. I wrote the king, I don't think this is a just thing to do, but like in general, I guess the king in the world, if he says over the head, even if it's a shkaga, that's it, it's too late. So Pinchas saying to Shmuel that if you were an Avel, was like that. He shouldn't have said it, but he did. So it's Rebbe Milta to Shmuel. So Shmuel ended up becoming an Avel.
Wow.
Sure enough, that.
Amazing story.
So all Pinchas achul the Mishal Tanis, now Pinchas came to him to pay a shivagong. So Shaklinu Latufrei, so he took his fingernails, Chavkinulape, and he threw them in his face. So he cut his fingernails as well. And he threw them in his face.
He saved
Omar Lay.
He saved his fingernails?
Yeah. Apparently. Oh, he just got his own. Yeah, he saved them.
He's waiting for him.
Omar Lay, Leslucha, don't you know, don't you hold the Brit Krusel of Safayim? That a treaty is made with the lips, that Hashem made the treaty with the lips. A treaty that, namely, how do you know that God made a treaty with the lips? In other words, what your lips say, God will respect. And he won't, like, let you say something that doesn't happen. Okay? Since you said, that's the deal. You say that you'll be an Avel, you're going to be an Avel. How do we know that that's true? So, Shanamar, Layomar Avram Lamarav. Avram said to his lads, "Shivu lo kaim po machamar. You guys stay here with the donkey. Vani ramar neilchad go, and I and the nar Yitzchak will go off. V'nistachavev v'nashuva lechem, and we'll bow and we'll come back. We will come back. What do you mean we will come back? It's not we. There's only I because he's going to the Akeda. V'stayim elto the other tribe. And it turns out because he said it. Sure enough, they both came down. So you see." That apparently what you say ends up happening. So therefore, how do you, Shmuel says to Pinchas, his brother, what are you doing? Don't you know that what you say happens? How did you do that? Throw the fingernails. All right? Good story?
Where is this?
You want to go to the Gemara now? Go to the Halacha part? Or keep going?
Where is this?
What do you call that? Nesachmanal. Strange, right? Well, let me see Rashi. So that's what he says. When he says he threw him in his face, he threw it out of anger. Okay? He threw it out of anger. By the way, it says he picked him up afterwards, because you're not supposed to throw your fingernails because the pregnant lady, you know that thing? It goes in this guy. So they're going to say afterwards.
Was that
what? Because
they
say, I don't know what the sorrow was or whatever, but they thought.
That,
yeah, also. That they thought that it's the fingernails, the pregnant woman stuff on fingernails.
One of the Rishonim said that it's either because
of Mios, which is like it's disgusting and that's like some sounds like some psychological thing, or because of Kshafim, which means some sort of magic or whatever. Their magic or their science or I don't know. Whatever it is. But let's leave that alone.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so this is pretty weird, right? The story is weird. I mean, it's taking us away from Avelis a little bit, as I said, but seemingly. But what's the deal with that? What you say? That's the thing, is that Shmuel didn't mean to say, I want you to, you know, Pilchas didn't mean to say, I want you to become an Avel. That's what it means, but he said it. And once you say it, it's too late. That's the thing. It's like a Chicago, it's like a king's hill, over your head. Too late. Too late. You can't do anything about it. So it's very strange, this whole thing. I mean, first of all, how do it sounds like magic? It's omnipotent words. You say magical spell like that.
He said if you were an Avel, you would you do it? And
yeah, right.
An Avel?
Yep.
Nothing's practical.
But the guy who became an Avel, I mean, it wasn't. He didn't do anything.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Essentially, he didn't do anything.
I mean, he did, I guess.
He just was listening to the guy say it.
Yeah. He did upset the guy, I guess, by saying, you know, he did say, why did you, you know, why did you cut your nails? You know, I'm kind of angry at the guy. But, you know, but he's not the one who even died, it's his relatives. But his relatives are in there.
Right. Pretty harsh punishment, even if what he did was wrong.
I know.
Saying that, why didn't you cut your nails?
Yeah. Punishment to him. Punishment to the guy who died, because he died, but it's punishment to Shmuel, because his relative died.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not a punishment to the guy that said the wrong thing.
Oh, no. Well, for him, it was died.
Yeah, but he was the other who made the statement that was wrong. So it caused the other person tragedy. So that's also impossible, basically.
I mean,
not impossible, but
seemingly
against justice, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And the Raya from Aramim is funny. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. What was pshat there that he says, we will come down? A simple pshat in the Bible.
You don't want them to think that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't want to tell them that what you want to do in Akedah. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get them to run away or whatever. You're just hiding it from them. So he said, yeah, we'll go up, we'll be right back.
Right.
You know, we will be right back. He's not going to say, I'm going to be right back.
Right.
That's what he said. No, because he said that, you know, well, it worked. That happened that way. I mean, these things work this way. You say things and they happen. Sounds like a fairy tale. Right?
It's teaching a different idea. I wish I'm not, I don't know.
No, I will eat this chip.
They both do have a common denominator, you know, and that, you know, there's a certain sensitivity you're supposed to have, I guess, when you talk to you and to relate with somebody.
Okay, sure. Still
good.
I'm warning you, I don't really have the greatest answer for that, Scott. Yeah.
Alert.
Yeah.
Magic is real.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, Moshe.
I don't remember. The story of the soul, like the Tessa, who's the person called? The other?
The Pimkos.
The Pimkos, like, as soon as it says it, the Gemara seems to say that he reflected
that
he said the wrong thing.
No, not the Gemara is just saying it. The Gemara says that. I don't think he reflected that. Right, I know, it's true. It's true. He's just saying, if you were an Avel, he's not saying you should become an Avel.
Right.
Right. It's true. Good point also.
strange to report back. I mean, maybe the guy who became an Odell because of what was said, or however you want to know. Say that. So he was like, he was legitimately upset that the other guy said this.
Yeah, because
somehow led to
this. Yeah, they said, don't you know that there's a risk that God listens to the words? Or something like that. The breath, which is cut.
Sounds like Einhard plus one.
Yeah, and all those other things.
Yeah.
Sure. I know. Sure. Yeah. Don't say that. Yep. Pastor Solomon. Say Pastor Solomon. Yep. It's true.
Who talked about the Akedah here?
Taking on
the third.
Exactly.
So,
Pintus
is small.
Very well. Well, it could be it's the Gemara thing.
That's what I'm asking you.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. It's interesting the lima can work. The lima makes for a positive fulfillment instead of apparently where it's all negative.
Just 1 second. It says, "Alas, don't you hold by Brit Christus of Siam?" Because Rabbi Yochanan said, it sounds like he's quoting a statement about the Akedah, proving Shmuel, proving that there's this principle of Brit Christus of Siam. That God made the treaty with the lips from Avraham Avinu, you know?
So he came back with his son.
Exactly. Moshe, I'm sorry?
It's interesting. The limud is a positive fulfillment of what took place. And we're learning it out, so, you know, also it works negatively. If you prognosticate something negative to happen, then it'll happen.
That's true. That's interesting.
Say, well,
it works for good enough for that.
I don't need to say like it affects you subtly.
It's like deal.
Right.
What are you saying, or?
Moshe.
Oh. What are you saying? Oh, the bad and the good?
No, it seems like, you know, possibly so. I mean, I'm silly. I'm sure I'm sorry. That should work that way, but it sounds like it's true, though. That, I mean, if the individual is making a good point, like a truthful point, so to speak, like, you know,
but
I also mean the whole thing still sounds silly, but
but the other way sounds harder. Yeah.
That sounds against
right.
against other things
right.
like justice.
Right. Right.
I mean, still looking for I.
Is that what you're saying?
So Shmuel went up to him and said, why you nailed
someone?
And he responded, well, if you were...
If you're small or not, though, you do so.
You
got your nails? Then, sure enough, Shmuel became an Avel. So Shmuel, then Pinchas came and paid a civil call, and Shmuel said, hey, Pinchas, you're crazy? Don't you know that the British people are fine? Because you said this, you end up killing me, killing my relative.
Sounds like it's attributing, you know, those forces.
Right.
Yeah.
Story?
No.
This guy was saying Shiva, and he cut his nails. So his brother came to him and says, well, hey, why are you cutting your nails? Why are you being so, you know? I'm sorry, why don't you cut your nails? He didn't cut his nails. He said, why didn't you cut your nails? He says, well, if you were an Avel, would you be so, you know, brazen to cut your nails? So because he said you are an Avel, turns out that the brother he ended up becoming an Avel. Somehow. Because he said that. So then they went to reverse the sides. Now he was sitting Shiva. So then his brother came to him and he threw his finger out at him and said, don't you know that you're not supposed to say things like that? Because you said that with the words come true.
The yeah. brother who yeah. sort of put in
put the so to speak, kind of like a curse. Like the one who is now who became the victim of this right. curse, so to speak. Right.
Cut his own fingernails
yeah. through them at his brother and says, don't you realize you shouldn't have said that? Because when you say things like that, things like things happen. As it says that Avraham Avinu, you know, said before he went into the Akedah to buy Yitzchak, he told the people, he said, I and Yitzchak will come down. Even though that he knew it wasn't him. But since he said it, sure enough, it happened. So it sounds like a thing, is what you say comes true. It sounds like this whole magical thing here that comes off. The whole thing sounds good.
What did he say again?
Yeah, exactly.
What did he say again, Mishnah? When he came back.
And says, don't you hold briskus or sasayim? Don't you know about that? You know, as it says, by how many of you know about that?
It's only a saint. The saint is obviously knows which more holds once he said what he said to him. That, you know, you're not supposed to, you are allowed to cut the nails. That's what your position is. Not real though. Your position is, what was his business about, if you were an Abel, what would you do?
So Matt, you were saying something that maybe it means like it affected him or something like that?
Yeah.
It's hard to see how it felt his dying.
I don't know if he gave him a ride or something, he was more lax, but...
Yeah, I know. You can make a whole story about now Shmuel felt a certain way, and then he didn't take care of his relative, and because of that his relative died. You know, if Shmuel died, then it might have been easier to understand, So how it psychologically affected him, and whatever.
Yeah.
When his relative's dying, it's a little harder to...
This is not such a good answer, but
mine isn't good either, so maybe it's the same thing.
I mean, I find it impossible to say that, like, him saying that at any, like, effect where, like, now the Hashkafa is going to cause one of...
Okay.
So, like, maybe it's just coincidence that it's all through that.
Okay, coincidence.
But, like, people make associations like that where, like, if you said something about my relative dying and then my relative dies, like, I have that association in my head now, even if deep down I know that it's stupid. So like, he was mad at him because he, like, forced him to deal with that association. You know, like, now I associate you with that phrase, and then my relative died, and now I have this crazy thought in my head that maybe you... I don't know exactly how it worked out, but, like, you call the person, like, I don't know.
Okay, was it the time,
Oh, I don't know about the time.
Who was Pinchas? Pinchas was the one who was mourning at first.
No, but who is he?
Shmuel's
brother.
Shmuel's brother?
Oh,
yeah.
So he's a great person, too.
Presumably. I mean, I don't know. Not every great person's brother is also great, but it seems like he was, a slouch. But who knows?
As a rule, does everybody observe the Ellis in the same way, regardless of your position or stature? Does he present himself in a manner?
I don't think there's a difference, but I'm not sure. Good question. Maybe that's not that hard. I forgot.
But in general,
I know. There's some difference. I just can't remember exactly. Maybe like washing his face like a king or something. I forget exactly. Maybe not. I don't remember. But I don't think my Pinchas was, doesn't seem like he was a, some sort of a leader. He's not, I don't think so.
Okay,
yeah.
And perhaps there was something that, so Shmuel, there must have been some dependent relationship.
Some what?
A dependent relationship that this Karov had to him. And, perhaps by saying this thing, yeah, it created some, some vulnerability in him that just, obviously he associated something to that statement. And, it changed something in him where, it bothered him or it obviously caught his attention. And, somehow that, obviously, this is not to say that this was like the absolute moving factor in somebody dying because of that, but it was a factor among factors, and that led to the person's demise. That's enough that in a person's mind it would it can make the difference.
Right. Right. The only thing is, you have to make up the story a little bit. You know? I hear.
To understand the story, don't you need to understand what it means all together to have a bris of the fire in the first place? A netter is like a type of...
Yeah, I mean, it's where this is like the first time in this phrase. Yeah, what does this mean?
It's like, is it similar to like in the Dharma, like when you say like, or when you say something, I'm going to do such and such. So you got to be.
I'm not sure. Connotation somehow means like God made a treaty with the Sosayim or something. Like when there are Sosayim,
and you say about something.
Say something, then he'll respect that, right? Or something like that. Sounds like something like that, you know? That there is a treaty with lips, with words, that words come true. So that's the plan. I think the plan is
not there.
I don't think it has to do with you making an ad. I don't think so.
No, but I'm saying that, okay.
No,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that is part of the problem, is what does that mean? It's wacky, yeah. But this is it.
I understand when I'm brown and net, because I understand the concept of if I say something.
Oh, I have to.
I
have to. But not like reality has to conform to
that. Right, but I have to. Right? I mean, because,
you know.
Go ahead. Like, is that also a type of, like, entering in a covenant, sort of, in a, or some sort of treaty that I make a net?
Right.
I'm just wondering.
It seems, I mean, it's a commitment. But that's, seems totally different than that.
Yeah, it is a type of.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I hear the association, perhaps it could work something out. Yeah. Matt, you were going to say that?
Well, I was just saying it, I was learning, like, Cody's bris of a sign to mean, like, not that, like, there's a treaty that God's going to have to do something now, just that, like, people remember these things.
Right.
Like, that, when his relative died, coincidentally, he, like, he remembers that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I hear what you're saying. You gotta work it out. If it, you know.
Yeah.
Like kind of like I hear the direction you're trying to go.
And you got angry. I don't know. People make that kind of association in their mind.
You have to be able to work a Donovan thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
okay. So, this is Shas from Rabbi Zimmer. We were learning together in Shabbos. So, it goes like this. That. See, Shmuel. See, what was Tiglath doing? Tiglath was like, I guess, offended. Right? He was upset by Shmuel saying, I want to cut your nails. And he says, hey, if you were not, would you be so mezalzel in your veils? In other words, he felt like, look, I don't know, maybe technically it's mother, but it's like, he's just like, apparently he was very taken by his veils. And it was in deep mourning. And for him to start involving himself in cutting his nails would be like a disgrace with the veils. He was totally taken. And here, Shmuel comes in and says, hey, cut your nails. Like, what do you know? It's like an insensitive type of thing to say. Like, he wasn't properly attuned to Marshmallow's state of mind. Like, it's almost to his brother Pinchas' state of mind. It's almost like Pinchas, he thought Pinchas was being Machmir. But Pinchas was just, he was like, it was beyond him to start getting involved in cutting his nails. Okay, it's like, he treated like a Zilzul. And he held, Pinchas was accusing Shmuel, you're not, if you were an Avil, you'd understand. You don't understand the mindset of an Avil. You think, look, what's this halacha, shaharach, look it up, whatever, mother, okay, cut my nails. You know, here's what he's saying, is if you were an avil, you'd realize you can't just look at avilus as just another halachic area and whatever. There's a psychological reality. And here it is, you're coming in and busting me off for can I cut my nails. Don't you appreciate the mindset of avilus? And he was upset at him. Right? He said, that's why he's talking to him like that. He's upset at him. He says, look, you should, if you were an Avil, you'd notice, you'd see. Right now you're not being sensitive to me, but you should know that if you were an Avil, you know, almost in a certain sense, I'd like to see you cut your nails and you're an Avil. You know, it's like he's subtly saying that. He's not just saying, if you're an Avil, but it's like there's a part of him which is angry at Shmuel, and accusing him of not being able to properly identify with him, and saying if you were, you would be an other, you'd see the point. You know, and in that type of a statement, there's a subtle wish that he would be in, you know, that's just emotionally, you feel that way, that you too should be a novel and you'll see what it's like, and then you'll stop bothering me and get off my case, stop bothering me. You know, what are you giving me such a hard time for? You know? Okay. Now,
but you will answer differently. He would defend him like he said some other way, right? This
one. No, it could be his way. Could be it's right, could be it's true. Shmuel wasn't properly sensitive to the situation.
Can I see, yeah. Do they reflect the side of the machlokas that maintains that cutting in nails, any sort of
qualification
is bizarre?
Could be. It could be that Pinchas held that way ironically, or it could be he just felt that way.
Yeah,
right?
He's in line.
Yeah, in line with
in
that.
In line,
yeah, exactly.
That
yeah.
The Gemara giving the story
yeah,
to reflect
exactly.
How he's in line
yeah.
With that.
Exactly.
The sheet is that cold.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. So he's in line with that way of thinking. And even if technically, Shmuel, you're right, that's not how we hold out logically, but whatever.
Right.
Don't force me to cut my nails because you don't
right.
Like looking at my nails or whatever. You got to be, you know, get into my head a little bit. You're not being sensitive. You have to learn to be able to empathize and to get into a person's head and not just, not talk to them from your framework. You got to talk to them from my framework. And you got a problem, Shmuel, that you're not able to properly appreciate what it means to be an Avil. If you'd be an Avil, then you'd see it. That's all I can tell you is the only way you're going to see it is if you become an Avil. Now, not necessarily, he could explain the point in a different way by, you know, saying, listen, I'm an Avil, you know, but he got upset and he talked to him in a harsh way. If you'd be an Avil, then, you know, like saying is you should be here and you just kind of switch things around and see what happens,
yeah.
You know.
You know what I mean? We've all done this as parents. With a non-parent trying to tell you how to treat your kids.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're right. You can do it, you'll be kids.
Kind of
yeah, exactly.
Just talking to your parents.
Yeah, right, exactly. For sure. For sure.
So we're supposed to believe that someone at Shmuel's level which just was acting this way?
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
That's the right way to
do it. And there's also, look, there's nothing wrong with saying that people at high level make mistakes.
Yeah.
Especially, this isn't it's an emotional situation. He's just not properly empathizing with the person. So it's a misjudgment, and it's a chay. It's wrong. It is wrong. He should have probably been sympathetic to the person's state of mind, and it's a chay. After all, something bad happened to him, so we should hope that he did something wrong. Otherwise, you're going to say, you don't accuse Shmuel, you're going to accuse Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, but I think it's to say, this isn't like a terrible Avera Chamura that, you know, people, we don't hold by infallibility, and he's a great person, but he was not so careful, subtly aware of the state of mind of his brother, who was there in mourning, you know. So now let's look back to Avraham Avinu, right? Let's pause for a moment, and let's turn to Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu was saying, we will return, right? But in his we will return, there was two things. There was how the decoy that he was telling them, we will return, but there was the choice of expression that he used was expression of like a wish. That we shall return in Nashuva, and we will return. You know, that's all he'll be saying is like, the way he formulated it, in Nashuva, and we will return. I'm not sure how else he could have formulated it, but it's saying is like, in that, he was basically like making a statement of what will happen. And that was an expression of his desire. Of his desire that they should both return. Even though, in theory, he knew that only one of them was going to return. But there was a wish on his part that they would both return. That somehow, even though there was a Zivoy Hashem and he knew that was the thing, but there was a part of him that was not at peace with this thing and that wanted to somehow have it that we would both return. And what the Kuvi with the Gemara is saying here, Brit Kusos Sayyid means, is that when a person expresses a wish, almost like a slip, or like uses a verbiage, which is the expression of a wish, that has the status of a tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomea Tefillah at times. Doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every Tefillah. But there's a Din Tefillah on the Bris, that's what it's a Bris Crystal Sign, and there's a Bris that God will answer your Crystal Sign. Is that if a person expresses his wish, although he doesn't formulate, he's not making a Tefillah, God, please let us both come down from the mountain. He's not, he's just, the way he, the choice of words is expressive of an unconscious or an underlying wish of Avraham Avinu. And it's saying is that God considers that like a tefillah, and there's a bris, and so far as God's the Shema tefillah, that he could answer that tefillah. Even though Avraham Avinu never fully enunciated it as an expressed tefillah. But still, that is what he wishes for, and he did, it did get to the level of speech, albeit not explicit, but he did express it in a subtle, through like an implication. And it's saying that is the din of a tefillah, and God is a shomea tefillah. And it turns out they both happened. That happened in that case.
The marshmallow didn't really mean it.
Hold on. Okay.
That's
pretty wild. Yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, that itself was like
pretty
interesting. Yeah.
Right. But I think it makes sense because God, you don't have to. It's like God needs you to say
right.
it because you want it.
Of a wish.
Right. And not everything that you. There's a difference between a wish which is just in your head and a wish which makes. Yeah, you become verbalized. Now, the chiddush is that even though you haven't verbalized it in a. Yeah, exactly.
That's
but it's like broke through from your unconscious wishes. You have a million wishes in your head. But it's broke through to speech and then made it to your tzvasayim. And the Bruce goes on that once it's gotten that far, that your underlying wish got to the point that you couldn't hold it in, but you expressed it, so God recognized it as a tefillah and has like a din tefillah, and God can answer it as such. Yeah.
Is that amazing to the fact that it is real to you?
Yeah.
Because it's a sign? Because it's something you were able to get to
pronunciation? Yeah. I mean, both.
Meaning, I mean, wishes that are latent.
Yeah. Right.
That. Haven't quite reached the surface. When they reach the surface, so the person changed by the knowledge of the thing, and that
Right. It could be both points. Is that first of all, the fact that you say it itself means that it's become more real to you, because you don't just say everything.
Right.
And I think your thing is, being that you do say it, it kind of has like a confirming effect on you.
Yeah,
know,
it's like
you become
it's like
concretized it, and then you. Ah, that's what I meant.
Right.
You know, it like has that type of an effect. Yeah, right.
Oh,
it makes it more real to you.
And that is the
I mean, both true. It's like the fact that you said it, then you got to the point of saying it, and then it builds, you know, strengthens yourself. And reinforces
it. It's in line with reality. That is part of the whole...
Yeah.
Reality.
Right. It's not just, it went from being just some fleeting thought in your head to being something that you said.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So, are we saying that, when we say that's like a tefillah, is it like tefillah, or is it like some... I don't know.
We don't know different types of
tefillah. Because it's a totally different sort of, because tefillah has a surah, and this doesn't have that, but it's
very high. Would it mean that, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it means that if it happens, what status is it?
Right.
But I just say, look, if it happens, then you'd say God's a Shema tefillah.
Okay.
You know? So,
right.
Is it the same type of a tefillah? I don't know. There's a lot of different kinds of tefillahs. It's more than, and it's, so to speak, your chances of it being, it relates now to the midah of a kashem of a Shema tefillah.
Oh, that's interesting.
You
know?
And you have more chances of it happening than if you wouldn't have expected it.
Right.
See, that's the way and get it from us. The expression, right? Be careful. Be careful.
Give what you wish for.
Yeah. They study this
tomorrow.
We should be careful then. If we use the future tense.
It's true.
And we enunciate.
It's true. It's true, you're right.
But that expression, usually those things make no sense.
Uh-huh.
One makes sense.
Right. But they may mean it
in a fluid sense.
Well, yeah. But it could be it's a good sense,
Is there any,
Right.
I don't know. That's totally open-ended.
somebody should be careful about what they say. There is a possibility that the tefillah, like she's davening,
it doesn't mean that God's necessarily going to listen to every tefillah, but it's a tefillah.
Yeah, but it's the point that a person should be careful what they say because.
Like, a person should daven. Listen, should a person daven if someone else dies? You know? So, might not be a good idea.
Should one know?
But the point of this is, you should say something because it's a common thought.
Is it appropriate to daven that someone else will die?
Oh.
Someone who you don't love, like. But you're angry at, or whatever.
You don't like, whatever. The world would be more convenient, whatever it is, but the idea of it is the reality to a tefillah, then
did it mean God will necessarily answer? No, but it is something that's a tefillah. Thing
about the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, about the Kohen Gadol. It says that the mother of the Kohen Gadol would make treats for the from Chicago, so they wouldn't daven that someone would die. You see, there's such a thing as that. Who cares what they say? There's such a thing as a tefillah. Tefillah, God's command. Tefillah. Does it mean that when you say it, therefore it's going to happen? No, there's a lot of cheshbonos, so to speak, in God's, which we can't know, but we do daven. So we obviously think that hold that tefillah doesn't mean something.
Right.
So the thing is, whatever tefillah does, this is in that category.
So therefore, you do need to be concerned.
Right. You should. That's what I'm saying. That's why you got angry at him for expressing himself. Well, we'll get to this. But yeah, so it is. You should just speak.
Wow.
Should just speak.
Just avoid the preacher.
I mean, not in a magical type of way, but in a rational way, there's a sense to it. It doesn't mean, poof, that's it, things happen like magical thoughts.
I would imagine it's somewhat rare, even.
Yeah.
I would imagine
that it happens, or...
Somewhat rare.
Yeah, it could be a high-level person
right.
who feels I'm more likely the answer than a low-level person also.
He reflects something very real, and he got to the point like
I mean, it's feel that.
Clearly, I mean, he was doing something, right? It was possible, but emotionally, he didn't see it, so...
Right.
He had a real good wish there.
Right. Correct.
So I thought about this.
This is what we were talking about earlier.
A long time ago. From a different framework, but because it seems like the future tense is a certain amount of haughtiness when you say, I will this or I will that.
Right.
In any context, it's not good to.
A part of Pinchas wanted Shmuel to be in his shoes. He's angry at him. And he says, you're not properly appreciating my loss and my emotions. And you're being insensitive. And if only you were here, you would see. And you'd stop bothering me. And there's a part of a person, when you say that, is a wish that the person is in that situation. Although, if he actually thought it through, you wouldn't formulate a tefillah like that. But there's a part of him that wanted that. Part of him that wanted him also to be in the situation. And that has a dent of the tefillah. And you should have been careful before you enunciated that, because look, there is a certain justice to it happening, because there's midik nemen, and so far as you're not, it's a chet that he's not properly appreciating, and the remedy for these kinds of chatam is often midik nemen, if you want to really appreciate it. There is a justice to you getting in that situation and you being able to, as a limud. And there is an idea that when a person is in a state of oppression, like you see, for instance, don't oppress an almana and a yasam, because when they God says and they cry out, I will answer them. There's an hashkacha that God helps the oppressed, and God. So there is a tefillah here, a subtle tefillah, and if you wouldn't have expressed it, it may not have happened. It could be you could have taught Shmuel in a more direct way. Shmuel, listen. Understand, I'm not really feeling available to give him a speech. But it's Kishko Yosef Beer Shalit. If he said it, he was angry, he said it, and that's a Shmuel's upset at him. is you gotta watch what you say. I realize I made a mistake, but he threw his fingernails on him. There's not this way to say it. I'm sorry I was insensitive, but he shouldn't have said it that way, because that is a bit of a tefillah. And it turns out, now I got the situation, and it didn't have to happen this way.
Two mistakes. I mean, the first and the second. Because, I mean, he got punished for the first mistake,
yeah.
and he did the same thing again.
Well, it was Pinchas who did the second one.
Well, he said he threw the nails at him. That was insensitive.
No, throwing the nails at him was after he was an elbow. He was blaming his brother.
Or rather, Pinchas threw the nails. Oh, okay.
Shmuel threw the nails at Pinchas.
Shmuel criticized Pinchas.
Yes.
So that was mistake number one.
Yeah, that was
Pinchas' response was to say, if
you were an Avel, then you'd see how bad it is.
Okay.
So then Shmuel became an Avel. Mm-hmm. Shmuel is now angry at Pinchas.
Yeah,
so
Pinchas
was wrong and Shmuel
was wrong. Pinchas was also wrong.
Both were wrong.
Yeah, both
wrong.
Yeah, but what was Shmuel's first mistake? He was insensitive, right? And there was the second mistake. He was insensitive again.
He was legitimately criticizing Pinchas.
It's true
that I was insensitive to you, but it doesn't mean you should lash out and be misfollowed and my relative will die. That's a little bit extreme, right?
So that's not considered being insensitive.
No, that's considered giving him up, sir. He says, don't you know this principle of risk is the same? You should be more careful.
It doesn't explain why he threw his nails specifically.
It says he was angry. Rashi just says he was angry.
Yeah, I know. He just threw the whole thing, meaning so it's your nails, perhaps, because it doesn't reflect the sheet.
Well, it is interesting because he did apparently.
He
in a certain sense, he got it wrong. I thought it was wrong because Shmuel did cut his nails. Even though he was an Avel and he was in his situation,
right.
He actually did
get
it now.
Right.
So it seems like he says, look, it could be like showing him, like, I don't know, I'm not sure.
That's the thing, I was wondering if there was something to be said about it, because he could have just yelled at him, why didn't the story have to use that as a part of the gleaming back. Meaning there is another, perhaps he's reflecting the other side, though. In other words, it's true that I wasn't sensitive in knowing, being able to understand your side of things. I made a mistake. However, it's not like I'm completely off my rocker. I'm the other side that maintains that it's got to be something which reflects.
Don't say.
And it's not like I'm completely off. So let me show you something. Here's your nails. My sensitivity is not as lost as you're thinking about.
I did think about Avelis. But I imagined what it would be like if I were. So it's not like I wasn't thinking of it about your state. My mistake was that I wasn't properly differentiating.
Because I maintain that clipping of the nails is not shy. The whole area, because it required to be exclusively.
Right, and in my emotions, I knew it really was part of my emotions.
So that's why you throw the nails.
Show them that. Right, and therefore, you shouldn't have gotten that.
We're both blinded by our own position.
Right. Why is he saying he threw the nails?
So it's a perfect lima to show them how they're both two accounts.
Right. They say is that he was showing him Pinchas is accusing Shmuel of being totally insensitive. Just you're not thinking about mourning, you're just looking at a purely halachic thing, you're not thinking about my mindset, totally ignoring everything. Shmuel's saying, no, I wasn't doing that. And maybe Shmuel's saying, look, and if I were that, then it would be legitimate to start discussing me what happened.
Right.
But I wasn't doing that, I was thinking about Avelis, and I was thinking through what it must be like to be a Nazal, and I was imagining my emotions, and turns out I would cut my nails, in fact I did cut my nails, and here they are. So I'm not as bad as you think that I'm just totally ignoring your emotions. I was doing my best to think about them, and I used myself as a guy, what else could I do? And therefore I asked you, why did you get your nails? So why do you get so angry? You misjudged me, Pinchas, by thinking that I was totally off. It's true, I was mistaken, and I should have realized that people are different, and they can't necessarily compare, but at the same time, I wasn't totally crazy by saying another will cut his nails. You see, I'm an Avon, I did cut my nails.
And why did he ask him for your curiosity?
Huh?
Why did he ask him originally? Just pure curiosity?
Oh, I think he thought he'd get it. Yeah, I guess you're trying to tell him how love or something. He didn't realize that it sounds like he thought that Shmuel, like the Pimkos, was just mistaken about the halacha or something. So he said, why didn't you cut your nails? What's wrong with you? Why didn't you stop that?
So why didn't Shmuel cut his nails?
Shmuel did cut his nails.
Yeah, why though?
Because he held that it's not there, and he held that it didn't bother him because he was involved in mourning, and he wasn't an action of vanity. It's not an action of beauty. It's an action of function. And even though secondarily it has the effect of a groom or whatever, secondarily
it's like Gemara's way of painting a picture of the two sides, showing how the hearts of these real people actually related to the sides, you know, so to speak, that they're involved in it to that extent.
Yeah, and the reason that there is nails is why?
Well, he was showing him. He was angry, but the way he did it is he was showing him how he wasn't as insensitive as Pinchas was accusing him of. Because he himself, even when he was an Avel, because it was Shmuel said, listen, you were an Avel, you'd never do this. Shmuel said, it's not true. I'm an Avel, I did do this. So I'm not being totally insensitive to you. That's what Pinchas was accusing him of. You're just not thinking about what it means to be an Avel. Shmuel said, no, I was thinking about it. I was. In fact, I am an Avel right now, and I cut my nails. Look, take them.
Yeah.
Here are my nails.
Yeah.
Look at them.
They do the exact same thing to each other.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Right. But unfortunately, the Pinchas expressed it as it's in this tefillah on the Christian Messiah, and that ended up affecting, you know. Now, obviously, God's judgment was not very complicated. Well, either that person was going to die, I don't know. That
person might have been dying already, but the way it works now is going to die now, or whatever.
Right. But if you do see, though, that you should be careful what you wish for. What you misspell for, but you wish for is the subtle din of a tefillah.
That's unbelievable.
Right. So you could try to explain this to the next guy who uses this to support I know.
Or the next guy might use this as one of his tefillahs beyond.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a nice story.
Nice story, right? So unfortunately, though, because we did the story, we got sidetracked from the last again. Maybe we'll take it on next week. Or next week's Tisha B'Av, right? So I don't know, maybe we'll get to that. Next week's Tisha B'Av, right?
You can turn it
around. Yeah. So we get to that, I'll still be in session. So if I remember, it, then remember the rest of this again. Or if I do something else that's what I found more interesting, then I'll just, you know, easier to remember, then I'll probably just do that. But if you want to look further into it, it's interesting.
Yes, that's not what I want.
Yeah, Yedayin Beis, Yitzhak Morel.
Yeah, we're up Zion.
Started Yedayin Beis, but currently we're up to Yitzhak Morel.
So this is not omnipotent of words?
No. But it is tefillah. I mean, that's what I'm saying, it's tefillah. Because Brit's Kuzma type of, there's the one other approach, like, I'm not saying you can't work out that type of approach, which is like somehow psychologically it affects them, like emotional thing, it's relative, it just puts, it's hard, it's a little bit more smart now. But in Brit's Kuzma type, sounds like it's some sort of a Brit, so it goes, well, it has that sound. You know, and by, I don't, you know, look, I'm sure there's, if you give it enough thought and energy, it could work out some best, some shot.
I think it's good.
Does he like this one? Yeah, okay.
Warning was not necessary.
Yeah, I guess we're good. Makes it easier to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, alrighty. So, I guess we'll stop here. So what are we doing here? So we stop here.